Our very own awareness is a pristine reality of perfect peace, a wholly positive basic space in which nothing need be done. Just as we don't have to do anything to for our eyes to be brown or blue or green or purple or red or whatever they are, so our own awareness does not need to be sought or attained. Our own awareness is already self-evident, is self-knowing awareness, and it is only via this awareness that all experience seems to exist. Every appearance, no matter what it is, every point of view is entirely empty of any kind of substantiality of its own. And we have looked into this in quite a bit of depth in the last number of days. We've looked into the different labels that describe things, the labels that describe a personal identity, the labels that describe different objects. And what we found is that there's nothing that we can attach a label to. So what we've arrived at is a definitive conclusion of all points of view existing only as this wholly positive basic space of our own awareness. So this is a fundamental understanding that all we are is this awareness, and that self-knowing awareness is aware of itself as whatever appears. So there's never anything that exists elsewhere other than awareness. And this awareness, rather than being confined to a body, is vast like infinite space. Vast like infinite space. It's never been confined anywhere. When we were looking into the possibility of there being a personal identity, what we found is that we couldn't find a personal identity anywhere. We couldn't find any kind of personal identity anywhere other than as a point of view appearing within pure awareness. So when we rest naturally as that which is constant, the pure awareness, our very own awareness, then we have complete understanding of everything. And this freedom in the immediacy of every perception is complete freedom. It's the complete enlightenment that equals complete benefit. We've been looking into this in some depth during the past couple of weeks. When we arrive at the conclusion, in other words, the decisive experience that we are wholly positive basic space that is entirely aware and that that's all we are, that is just the opening of the door. Because to be free is not complete enlightenment. Complete enlightenment equals complete benefit. That's the way it's always been and it always will be. The enlivenment of enlightened body, speech, and mind that comes through living as pure awareness is an amazing reality that is beyond description. And in it, all possibilities exist. So rather than just the limited possibilities that are available through point of view, all possibilities, permutations, and whatever exist within awareness. When we live from point of view, we only see a very limited notion of what is possible. So I'm going to talk about that now in terms of two very specific assumptions, belief systems that we conclude are true when we live from point of view. And those are the idea that there are positive and negative circumstances. In particular, that there are positive and negative actions, that there are beneficial actions and harmful actions, and that there is someone who is perpetuating those. So when we only understand reality through point of view, we spend our entire lives trying to develop positive qualities and diminish negative qualities. But as long as we're involved in that, we can never be entirely free, because the accumulation of positive and negative qualities have no location. Do you understand what I mean? We've already looked in depth into the emptiness of any kind of personal identity. So where would the someone be who was accumulating all of these beneficial and harmful actions? When we come to this understanding, the whole idea of benefit and harm collapse. The benefit and harm of trying to accumulate positive actions and diminish negative actions. As long as we're seeing life as accumulations of positive and or negative actions, we can never be free. Because all of these, no matter what they are entirely free in their own place. Their only source is awareness. So when we come to seeing this hidden flaw in the idea of benefit and harm, we see that there really is no someone who is accumulating a lot of positive actions or negative actions. Do you understand what I mean? That there is no location for the accumulation of positive or negative actions. So, for example, in my own case, I went to great lengths to accumulate positive actions and diminish negative actions. But the more that I sought this personal comfort of doing good works, the less satisfaction I felt. So I hit the wall, so to speak. I reached this point where I realized that no matter what occurs in terms of my seeking to be a good person, it's never going to give me satisfaction and fulfillment. It's never going to give me freedom. So when we look into benefit and harm in this way, or positive and negative actions, all we can conclude about that is that we must rest naturally. We must rest naturally as our awareness. Rest naturally as that which is entirely free of any speculation about what is or is not. And when we rest naturally as the pristine reality of our pure awareness for short moments repeated many times in an entirely uncontrived way, then it becomes automatic. And then rather than trying to accumulate all of these different types of actions that are going to lead to us being good people, what we find is a reality of enlightened body, speech, and mind that is already present. So this is already present. Wisdom, compassion, omniscience are already present as our true nature. They're inseparable from us, like the color blue is inseparable from the sky. All we are is this holy, positive, basic space of a pristine reality where nothing need be done because everything is already accomplished. We already are who we are, and that is the starting point. We must begin with that starting point. If we are entirely caught up in the idea that we need to get enlightened somewhere down the road, it is extremely unlikely that we'll ever be free. Because who we are, we already are, so that has to be the starting point. And we must acknowledge that not only for ourselves, but for all beings. So we're not a special someone who's lucky enough to hear about this and we're going to add another accomplishment to our beneficial actions. Rather, the starting point is the proper motivation of acknowledging that this is already the case for everyone, that there's absolutely no one left out. And so now I'll tell a story about the distinction between enlightened body, speech, and mind and the reality that we can know from point of view. So first I'll take it back to the basics. All we are is a wholly positive basic space of pure awareness. We could call that the pure view. Within that pure awareness, all points of view, no matter what they are included and contained. Within this vast infinite expanse, the scope of awareness, There never has been a someone who is a storehouse of points of view. So there's no someone to get rid of. There's no ego to get rid of. There's no fixation to get rid of. There's no identification to get rid of. All we've ever been is pure awareness, and that has to be the starting point. And when we rest naturally for short moments, many times in a totally uncontrived way, that becomes automatic. That pure awareness becomes automatic. More and more we realize, we familiarize ourselves with our true nature, that everything, no matter what it is simultaneously inherent within the reality of our pure awareness. And when we do so, we realize more and more that there is an amazing reality that we never knew existed. So now I'll give you a very practical example about that with the story I referred to. One of the things that humankind expends a great deal of effort on are simple things like, trying to stay warm. If it's cold, we try to stay warm. And so, you know, we might do all kinds of things depending on where we live in order to do that. And from the scope of point of view, either, you know, we have to have a furnace, we have to have a fireplace, a wood stove, or if we live outdoors, maybe we need to build a fire or something like that. So we put clothes on. There are all these ideas about how we can stay warm. But I'll tell you another way of staying warm that is the evidence of what it means to live as enlightened body, speech, and mind. In the Tibetan plateau is 15,000 feet above sea level and higher. So all of the people who live there live in a very extreme circumstance. Most of the people live above timberline. There's very little to eat that's naturally occurring. People have to go to great lengths in order to get food and in order to stay warm. So for many, many thousands of years, Tibet was completely cut off from the rest of the world because it's completely surrounded by mountains and it's very high and inaccessible. So a whole culture developed, and this culture is 17,000 years old, of subsisting in this circumstance. And in doing so, because the people weren't seeking personal comfort all the time, they were just trying to survive, they heightened their powers of perception to a great degree so that many hundreds of thousands of people over the years lived as pure awareness. And so there are stories, and these are documented stories, of not only these hundreds of thousands of people waking up fully, but also of teachers who were living with many, many students who were also enlightened, and they'd be living in some remote hidden realm of Tibet somewhere on a mountainside, and it would get too cold. They wouldn't have any wood for fire because they were above timberline. So using the power of their enlightened body, speech, and mind, when it got too cold and the sun was no longer shining where they were, they would all fly to another place where the sun was shining. So you see, when most of us hear about these things, we can't even believe that it's possible. We cannot even believe that this is possible at all, because point of view squanders our awareness. You know, when we pour all of our awareness into point of view, we never know this great reality of what we are. So all of our solution seeking is limited by seeking certain kinds of things that we think will make us personally comfortable. And when we live in this way, we just see like the head of a pin. It's like living on the head of the head of a pin. So you see, one of the reasons this story is important is that we are who we are. When we see the evidence of enlightened body, speech, and mind that is so evident in the world, in human beings, we know that we're a human being just like these other human beings. So as we're a human being just like these other human beings, and the only reality of our nature is pure awareness, then it means that this enlightened body, speech, and mind is already present in us too. And the only way we can come to know what that is to rest naturally in an uncontrived way. We can never get there through meditation, virtuous conduct, mantra repetitions, pujas, no matter what it is. We can never get there through any of those means. We can do all those things, but unless we rest naturally in an uncontrived way, free in every single perception that comes up, we're never going to realize who we are. We're going to spend our whole lives seeking personal comfort in mantra repetition, meditation, pujas, whatsoever. And all that is another anomaly of point of view. Unless we're involved in those things and we're entirely free, resting naturally, freely in the immediacy of every perception during those, they will never lead to freedom, and it's as simple as that. So, you know, we really need to get clear on that, and we need to get clear on it right now. We really need to get clear on it right now. Humankind has no more time to do decades or lifetimes of sadhana. You know, I was talking to my mother about this on the phone today, and I said to her, she lives in Portland, Oregon, and she said, well, how's it going over there? And I said, oh, you know, Mom, everything is going so great. It's really wonderful here. And she said, well, you can really be proud of your accomplishments. And I said, well, you know, thank you, and thank you for being my mother. She looks at things in a certain way. And then I said, you know, Mom, when I was growing up, I was always fiery. I was always on the warpath. And you always said to me, being on the warpath and doing something about it are two different things. My mother said that to me over and over again, because I always had a cause. You know, when I saw injustice anywhere, social, economic, environmental, I had something to say about it, and no one could stop me. So we were having this wonderful conversation. But you know, this is true for all of us as humankind. We've come to the end of our ability to produce solutions that will benefit humankind from point of view. We have come to the end of our ability to do that. Everything is in a state of decline. Economic justice, social injustice, environmental justice are all in decline. And if we adopt a point of view of something like non-existence, no self, no thought, one of these states that sometimes are taken to be enlightenment, all we're doing is adopting an extreme of point of view. These things are not total freedom, and they never will be. So when we rest naturally without seeking anything, we come into a reality that provides not only ourselves great benefit, but provides great benefit to everyone. And we find that the personal comfort that we seek is only found in pure awareness. I know in my own life, before I had this dramatic shift 24 years ago, I sought personal comfort and I accumulated a lot of it. But it never gave me any satisfaction and fulfillment. In fact, the more personal comfort I had, the less satisfied and fulfilled I felt. But we are the supreme reality that is always entirely free. And it has an unlimited range of options within it. Because we only are pure awareness, the unlimited range of options is simultaneously inherent. In other words, the solutions aren't in the future. They're right here. We can only know this through resting naturally without seeking anything. Resting naturally without making up a whole story about the way things are, a whole story that's based on ideas that we've learned from other people. So these aren't even our own ideas. All these points of view are included and contained within us. So when it comes to the, say, the notion of being a good person or a bad person, most of us, you know, have at least something we've done in our life that we don't like at all about ourselves, you know, or maybe we have several things. Well, you know, if we continue to assess ourselves in that way rather than seeing all of these things as points of view within our awareness, we'll spend our whole lives feeling regretful and remorseful about the things that are negative in our characters, and we'll feel even more driven to accumulate positive characteristics. But what we really need to do is to come to a complete halt, to completely call off the search for trying to be good people, to simply rest as awareness and allow this goodness that's already present to thrive. And when we do so, we find a beneficial reality within ourselves that is constantly emanating. It's continuous. It cannot possibly be stopped. It emanates only good. It spews good all over the place. It only is good. Everything is itself. So we can only come to this conclusion for ourselves and then contribute to our families, community, and world from and as that. And as long as we're involved in any kind of practice or philosophy leading to enlightenment, whether it's based on science or religion or spirituality or philosophy or whatever it is, as long as we feel that there's something that needs to be fixed, someone that needs to be fixed, an ego that needs to be squelched, or an identity that somehow needs to be done away with, then we'll never be free, because there is no someone located anywhere. So as long as we're trying to work on a someone located somewhere, we can't possibly be free, because we're still wrapped up in points of view. So when we rest naturally free in the immediacy of every perception, no matter what we've judged it to be, positive, negative, or neutral, we find a freedom that is not only free, but it's also omniscient. It knows all. It's the reality of no more learning. It's the reality in which all that has ever been learned and known is already present. So, you know, for many of us, it doesn't seem, you know, like this could be possible at all, that it would be possible to fly from one mountainside to another. But, you know, even that, that's just a small example of what's inherent within us, a very small example. So, you know, when I talk about enlightened body, speech, and mind, enlightened body, speech, and mind is that contains all capacities and abilities, not only something like flying from one mountain to another to keep warm so one will be in the sun, but also everything is already present. The capacity to be totally free in the moment is already present. All the great qualities of all great beings who have ever lived are already present. And they're already present as our own awareness. And we can only come into that, we can only tap into that when we rest naturally without seeking anything. But as long as we think that we have to keep doing something, it'll never be possible to realize who we are. It's just totally impossible. It's totally and completely impossible. So if I were sitting here telling you these things without having the evidence of that, what I would be saying would be just totally empty talk. It would be totally empty talk. But I've seen countless people become not only entirely free, but also to live as this all-knowing reality through this simple, straightforward approach of the Great Freedom Teaching. So, you know, when people come here, what we say is that if you really commit to this, we will support you, and we will support you 100% in that. We can guarantee that you'll realize who you are. It's as simple as that. You know, the search is over. The search is over. And there are many people in this room who can already attest to that. So the things that we take ourselves to be, we adopt from other people. No matter what your actions have been in your life, whether they've been positive, negative, or neutral, realize that all of them are included and contained within your awareness. There's not a someone in there who's a storehouse, a warehouse, or a repository for all these beneficial and harmful things. They're just points of view included and contained within your own awareness. And when we rest naturally as that awareness, rather than getting all involved in the stories of points of view, then we realize more and more the immensity and the potency of the magnificence that we are and the contribution we can make to life. Are there any questions? All points of view, no matter what they are like a mirage. They're like a rainbow in the sky. And either a mirage or a rainbow in the sky, each are vivid appearances, but if we try to grab onto anything, there's nothing there. But to just say about everything that there's nothing there is totally incomplete. That is to hypothesize that nothing exists, and that is nihilism. It isn't freedom. So if we just say that there's nothing there, that nothing exists, we've adopted an extreme of point of view. Because even though it is empty, a rainbow or a mirage, it's empty of anything other than our own awareness. And we can prove that about all the colors in the rainbow and all the elements in a mirage. No matter how much we wanted them to be something, they never would be. We can't get the rainbow and put it in our cupboard at home. We can't go into the mirage and get a drink of water or whatever else we see there. Just so, you know, with all of these points of view, we can't get what we see there. Because it's absent of a substantial nature of its own. It has no origin that's independent of awareness. But if we adopt this point of view of nothingness, non-existence, all we've done is adopt another point of view, but it's still within the matrix. It's still an anomaly of point of view. Because the rainbow or the mirage is not only empty of an origin other than awareness, it's also naturally present, and that's very obvious. It's naturally present. We can't possibly deny that it's naturally present, and it's vivid, it's lucid. So it's very vivid in its appearance. That means we can really see it. It is a point of view within our awareness. And it also is lucid, and that means, the word lucid means it's easily understood. We can understand this point of view. We can understand, if we look at it from enlightened body, speech, and mind, we understand that it's empty, and it's also naturally present. And then it's also entirely responsive. So it isn't just a static condition of being empty and naturally present. it is also responsive, and that responsiveness can come about in two ways. Either we see the mirage or point of view to be something that exists in and of itself, or we see it as inseparable from this indivisible, wholly positive basic space that is entirely empty, naturally present, and filled with the dynamic energy of awareness. So you see, this is the complete freedom to realize that all of our perceptions, no matter what they are inseparable from pure awareness, like the luster of gold is inseparable from the gold. We could never take the glitter of gold away from it and separate it out. So all these points of view, no matter what they are as much awareness as the glitter of gold is gold. And if we adopt any of those extremes about the presence of awareness, if we say it's either empty or we're only looking at it as presence or now or something like that, or if we're only looking at it in terms of its dynamic energy, compassion, good acts, or then we've adopted an extreme, but it's still within the matrix of point of view. Because you see, all these points of view, no matter what they are an integrated mandala. Everything, no matter what it is, it's an integrated mandala. It's the foremost mandala that's unlimited by anything. But if we take up a position on any one of those points of view, then we've adopted an extreme. So if we take up a position of natural presence, we've adopted an extreme. If we take up a position of emptiness, we've adopted an extreme. No self, no thought, even bliss, clarity, compassion. Any of these are points of view where we can take up a location. It's like being the vast expanse of infinite space with all planets and stars included within you and just going to live on one star rather than the complete enjoyment body that emanates everything. So, you know, these are very important understandings to come to a definitive conclusion about. But, you know, first of all, we have to... The fundamental realization is that all points of view, no matter what they are included and contained within our awareness, and to rest naturally is that awareness. That is the fundamental realization. Upon that realization, all of the other fullness of realization unfolds. That has to be the fundamental realization. Very often that's taken to be the destination, and then that's called enlightenment, that all points of view are included and contained within me, or sometimes it's called the spontaneous activity of consciousness or something like that. But that is just the most fundamental realization. To stop there is just like going into an enormous palace of precious jewels and taking one jewel and leaving when it's all yours. So if you're reading books that say those kinds of things or going to teachings that have adopted that frame of reference or context, stop. Please stop. Fabian.
So if you're resting naturally and there's a rainbow or some positive thoughts or daydream happening, and you're just observing the rainbow or the thoughts, is there anything wrong with that? If you're already resting naturally and just observing the rainbow?
No, not at all. Because you see, all there is awareness as the rainbow. When we rest naturally in an uncontrived way as awareness, less and less do we feel like we have a personal identity that is the mainframe computer of all our points of view. More and more we realize we are awareness. We gradually familiarize ourselves with that. And so the notion of an observer and observed slips away. But we don't have to take up any position in order to make that happen. Do you see what I mean? We don't have to adopt an extreme of no self. All we're saying is that a personal identity does not exist in its own right. We're not saying that there's absolutely no self. We're saying that any point of view of a personal identity arises in awareness. It's a point of view of awareness, and that's all it is. And it's equal to every other point of view, no matter what it is. So the personal identity isn't a point of view that includes a lot of other points of view. It's just a point of view like any other point of view, dog, cat, hairstyle, man, woman, whatever it is. You know, this is the total simplicity of who we are. The total simplicity of who we are. So that's beautiful. There is no awareness that's separate from the perception. This notion that there's an observer of a perception has never been. There is no location of an observer, and there's nothing to label as an observer. Just as there's no location of something to be observed or a place to attach a label of that. It's just like everything is pure space. The observer is pure space. The observed is pure space. So what does that say about the entire space? It's one wholly positive basic space. But we can only know that if we rest naturally in an uncontrived way. As each perception arises, we rest naturally, free in the immediacy of whatever that perception is. And when I say that, we simply rest at the root of that perception. And when we do so, we realize that that entire perception is just a vivid wakefulness and nothing else. And when we come to that conclusion through our own direct experience in that way, then very quickly we see that any kind of interval between points of view and the next point of view, that they all arise, abide, and are freed simultaneously as that awareness. So we don't even say in that awareness or of that awareness, because that implies two. You see, there only is the indivisible reality of wholly positive basic space. So when the perception arises, it is awareness. It's not something other than awareness. We can only come to that definitive conclusion through the decisive experience of natural rest as the immediacy of perception. In no other way. And this has been true throughout time. Rest is best, right, Brahmachari? This is the easy way. Any other approach will lead to endless agony of more seeking. But you see, attaining some sense of personal comfort through all kinds of virtuous conduct or method or practices is absolutely no different than accumulating personal comfort through buying TV sets or something like that. It's all in point of view. Really, this is true. Unless we're resting naturally while we're living in a way that's imbued with goodness, then we'll never know the reality of who we are. Knowing the reality of who we are cannot come about through good actions. Or bad actions either. So, you know, for many of us, when we hear this, it just turns everything upside down, because we've really been trying to accumulate meritorious activities and lessen things that aren't so good. We've been trying to increase happy thoughts and decrease unhappy thoughts. We've been trying to increase good emotional states and decrease negative emotional states. So then when we hear that all of our points of view, no matter what they are, equal, it seems like this couldn't possibly be the case. You know, what does this say, that we become totally irresponsible and immoral? Well, sometimes, you know, that is expressed, that, you know, I call it fatalism. It's a form of nihilism. It's the adoption of an extreme that says everything happens spontaneously within consciousness. It's predestined. Do whatever you want. You know, if you're a guru, sleep with your students if that's what your body is doing. And if you're running around in the world and you can't stop drinking, just keep drinking because that's what your body is doing. But this is fatalism. It's not freedom. This is not freedom at all. So you see, this pivotal understanding here that I'm talking about is that all that occurs within the realm of awareness is a wholly positive basic space. So whether we've labeled an activity of the dynamic energy of awareness as either positive, negative, or neutral, it is only a label on pure space. So what can we say about any of those things that we've labeled? They're only pure space. And we can never know that unless we rest naturally, free in the immediacy of each perception as it arises. And unless we do that, we'll be caught in an endless cycle, as I call it, the hamster wheel, of trying to make sense out of all of these positive, negative, and neutral states. And rather than this opening up immorality and passive irresponsibility, it opens a reality of the emanation of incredible benefit beyond anything that could ever be imagined. Beyond anything that could ever be imagined. You know, and this has been true throughout time, that complete enlightenment equals complete benefit. Complete enlightenment equals complete benefit. Our only true body, speech, and mind are enlightened body, speech, and mind. And when we rest naturally as that, more and more our body, speech, and mind are only involved in the qualities and activities of enlightened body, speech, and mind. And then these powers that I referred to earlier, they come fully alive in us. I've talked about it here as, you know, when you open a Word document and you see the menu of all the things that are included within the software. It's when we rest naturally, we open up the power menu. You know, we open the menu of this immense potency to contribute incredible benefit. But we can't see that the menu's even there unless we rest naturally. And it doesn't mean, you know, that we're going to adopt some extreme about those powers either. When we rest naturally, we won't go off into some kind of weird behavior, like becoming a magician who makes $20 million a year flying from one mountain to another, something like that. The emanation, you see, we can never even arrive at any of that unless we're resting naturally to such a significant degree that not only do we have those powers on the power menu, but we also have the capacity to directly transmit or communicate freedom. That's like the container of all the other powers. There's no power that's greater that we have as human beings than to communicate this pristine reality of enlightened body, speech, and mind and its qualities and activities. There's no power any human being in this room or anywhere on earth has that is greater than that. So, you know, we always have to have that as the context, the proper motivation, the acknowledgement that everyone, no matter who they are, is already enlightened, that there's no one cut off from this, that there's no special person who's enlightened, that this is all, you know, either it is all a pure awareness or it is not. And within pure awareness, there's no hierarchy. It would be absurd. It's absurd to even posit that there is a hierarchy, that there are some kind of elect people who are free and others aren't. That, you know, it's never been, and it never will be. If we rest naturally, entirely free in the immediacy of just one perception, we'll have such a strong taste of what I'm talking about that it will be so compelling we won't want to do anything else. Everyone here already knows this, and you know, for some of you, the full evidence has already come alive. So, but even if the full evidence of it doesn't seem obvious to you, the starting point has to be that you know that that's already so about yourself. Continuing to take yourself to be somebody who needs to be fixed through spiritual practices and methods, through self-help, psychology, positive affirmations, or whatever it is, it'll just be a lifetime of doing that. We all know that, right? We've all tried that, right?
What about medication? Some people that have medication for mental diseases.
Uh-huh.
Not required?
You tell me about it. Tell me about medication. What does your wisdom tell you, just in relation to yourself?
I haven't taken any mental medication, but uh-huh. people that have become reliant on it to keep them normal, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
If there is normal. And my question is that really a requirement?
For keeping people normal? Well, let's look at it in this way. Let's look at it in the sublime way. First of all, as human beings, we acknowledge that we already are entirely free. We're already completely enlightened. Completely enlightened as the complete enlightenment that equals complete benefit. That's what everything is. You know, there's nothing outside that. We are that holy, positive, basic space and nothing else. Everything that is included and contained within that, it is us. It is holy, positive, basic space. There's never been anything separate from that. So that's the starting point. If we're taking medication, then medication is also included and contained within that. There's no good or bad or right or wrong. If we said something like, someone who takes medication can never be enlightened, we would be talking about duality. Everything is as it is. So just picture those words typed out, as it is, and then italicize them. Everything is as it is. So in my own experience over 24 years, I've met people who were so ravaged by point of view that in taking medication, it allowed their body mind to calm down enough that they could experience freedom. And then maybe the medication was no longer part of their life, or maybe it was. But you see, everything is included and contained within awareness. So if you limit yourself in any way and say, oh, I couldn't possibly be free, I'm taking medication, or I couldn't possibly be free because I did this horrible thing, so I don't deserve to be. You know, no matter what these things are, they're all included and contained within your awareness. I'm not the only one who says these things, you know. In Tricycle magazine, the Buddhist magazine, in 1998, I think it was, there was an article on where the greatest living Buddhist teachers, some of them, were interviewed about this question, and they all agreed without exception that some people would never have the opportunity for enlightenment at all unless they did take medication. So, you know, it just is as it is. It is as it is. We must come to a decisive experience ourselves. There is no rule book. There's no rule book. It's our own awareness. And this is the adventure of self-knowing awareness. We are how awareness knows itself. Isn't that amazing? We're the only beings that have this capacity as awareness to know itself. What could be more amazing than that? And it isn't an extreme. The only freedom there is this freedom in immediate perception, whether it's perception of the medication or perception of anything else. Everything, no matter what it is wholly positive basic space, entirely free in its own place. So, you know, we can only rely on our own awareness, that's all. And whatever the points of view are that are appearing within our own constellation of wholly positive basic space, it just becomes more and more obvious that this isn't a personal thing. It's just awareness that includes all points of view. And that this awareness that is inclusive, the points of view are the luster of awareness and nothing else. They're adornment of basic space and nothing else. The wholly positive basic space is a precious treasury that fulfills all wishes, instantaneously fulfills all wishes. So there's no need to diminish ourselves or really think anything about ourselves. We don't even have to think about all these things I've just been saying. All we have to do is sample that, you know, while we're sitting here, there's nothing going on. All there is wholly positive basic space. This is as simple as it is. We already are who we are. And the falling away of everything and the wholly positive spaciousness that is experienced right here is all that we are. It's all that we are and it's all that we've ever been, and it isn't circumstance dependent. So it isn't dependent on being here. What is experienced here is the reality everywhere. It's not circumstance dependent. No location is required. Not India, not special clothes, not special bodily postures, not special thoughts, not special feelings, not special speech coming out of the mouth. Everything is entirely free in its own place. All points of view are entirely free in their own place, liberated upon arising, no matter what they are. All our emotions are pure space. All of our thoughts are pure space, no matter what they are, any thought whatsoever, any emotion whatsoever. All of our actions, past, present, and future, are pure space. And this pure space is timeless and it's dimensionless. So there's no location to take up. There's no destination to get to, and there's no one going there. The destination is pure space, and someone going there is pure space. So what have we definitively concluded here? That everything is pure space. It's as easy as that, and if we try to complicate it any more, then it's the hamster wheel. The hamster wheel is pure space too, but we might not be able to recognize it if we're seeking some kind of personal comfort and point of view. Any other questions? Did I satisfy you? If you have any doubts at all, this is the place to clear them up. Yes,
I can't marry the idea of being of resting awareness and having all that space and then feeling, I just feel so separated from the way I view myself or the part of me that is caught up in the
Well, first of all, it's really important to acknowledge that you have this realization, and this is a very significant realization that you've had, and that you have, that all points of view are included in your awareness. That has to, and that you rest as awareness, inclusive of all those points of view. That not only is an understanding in you, but you're also resting as awareness. So you've recognized that, you've realized that about yourself. And it will become more and more obvious to you just as you rest. These two will marry, as you say. And more it'll be like the color blue in the sky, the color blue inseparable from the sky, or the color of your eyes, blue inseparable from your eyes. You see, so more, but this only comes about through natural rest. Now, is there anyone else who is involved in the Great Freedom Teaching who would like to share? What is your name?
Joanne.
With Joanne, your own direct experience of the marrying of the two? I can talk about these things forever, but there are lots of people in the room who can talk about this too, so who would like to do that? Kathy. Come up here. And just share what it was like for you, what happened, and what it's like now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then I did the inquiries, and 3 months ago, now I'm involved also. What happened was that I more and more, at first I didn't know what is resting, how does that feel like, and suddenly I only knew that I was resting. I could not say why. I could say that I'm more like relaxed, but I could not try to force that. And through that resting, it came in sometimes short and sometimes longer. Sometimes it was just, I knew it is there. And then I could feel that all things I thought it's outside, like thinking somebody would think bad of me, or somebody, or something would try to get me, or to bring me away from resting, that was all, it was like a knowing that is all included in my awareness, or in the awareness. Suddenly when the next step came, I suddenly didn't find my awareness anymore. So I didn't know, I thought, oh, also what I think I was, like I am Kathy, I'm psychologist, I am this and I am that. That dropped away. Today I was thinking, oh, what did I earlier think about me actually? What did I think? Who I was. I tried to find, and then I didn't know anymore. So I didn't know what I thought, who I was. So that was just automatic that I don't think anymore about. I don't think I am this, I am that, I am that. I'm just like aware. And then the things outside just go inside automatically. But not inside me, like inside somewhere. Something I cannot describe. So that is all thing I didn't try to catch on. I didn't try to make it. Because when I tried to make it, then it was very hard in the head. I thought, oh. So that went automatically, time and time, by resting. And when I didn't know what resting is, I didn't try to figure it out. Sometimes I did try, but then I thought, no. You know when you're resting, oh, now I'm resting. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Kathy. Simon. Come on up, Simon.
Oh, no, I have a question.
Please. Oh. Would you like to share something about resting first before you ask your question?
I think that, like Kathy said, sometimes I know I'm doing it, and then other times, I'm just doing it, and that's really easy. And then other times, like now, trying to do it, I'm going best. Come on. But like Kathy said, it's just becoming longer and longer, and it's just happening. And the more I try to force it, the more I worry myself, which is why I'm going to ask the question.
And how long have you been at this resting? Obviously resting. You've always been resting. How long has it been obvious to you?
About 4 to 5 days. Since probably the third inquiry or the fourth inquiry. But every day it's getting longer and more easy, I guess.
Thank you. When Simon and Kathy refer to the 12 inquiries, that's one of the teachings of the Great Freedom Teaching. It's a 12-day intensive. It was a 10-day, but now it's going to be a 12-day intensive on how to rest naturally. And it is so strong and powerful because it's like Holy Positive Basic Space is like an immense laser that cuts through all points of view. All points of view collapse in basic space. So this is the effect of the 12 inquiries. The laser that cuts through all points of view. What is your question, Simon?
Well, my question is, at times when I feel that I'm not resting, and I get caught up, well, I want to rest, right? And so I'm, But, and so I sit there and I go, what would Candace say she was here? She'd say, you know, all my points of view are part of awareness, and I can think of these things that you'd say, and then when I think of them, I get up, and then I rest. But am I missing the point by having to think about them? Is that just a point of view of thinking about you, and then,
Well, let's look at it this way. When we start to rest naturally, a lot of times our awareness hasn't recognized itself. Rather, we've made this choice, which is our most important choice in every second, either to use our awareness to be a point of view or use our awareness to rest as vast space. So when we first start to do that, we find that for most of our lives, all of our points of view have been about non-recognition of awareness. Well, there are a few points of view that are about recognition of awareness, like all points of view are included and contained within me. So when we start to rest naturally, this is the first evidence of enlightened body, speech, and mind. Our enlightened mind is the things that pour out of it that are right at the source, vibrating right at the source, are those kinds of things. All points of view are included and contained within awareness. So it's natural for these thoughts to occur. But more and more, they aren't necessary as a support. They're just not necessary as a support. It's just like if you go camping and you put up a tent, you have to drive those stakes into the ground at the corners or the tent flies away. Sometimes with you in it, if it's a big wind, but when all the stakes are pulled out, then everything just flies away and no objective support is needed. There's no tent needed, no stakes or anything else. The whole reality of point of view is entirely emptied. More and more one realizes that, you know, when I talk about this over and over and over again, Holy Positive Basic Space, maybe the first time you hear it, maybe like, what the hell is she talking about? You know, but believe me, and all of you, many of you here already know that this is so. At one point, you heard that phrase for the first time, and more you realize what that is. So you see, when we acknowledge the reality of who we are, it just becomes more and more obvious. It's as simple as that. So when all these points of view come up, no matter what they are, whether they're about awareness or anything else, just keep resting naturally. And, you know, use the four comforts of the Great Freedom Teaching: resting naturally, the teacher, the teaching, and community. All available to you 24/7, no matter where you live. On the face of the earth, there's someone available to talk to you if you come up with something where it's, if you have a perception and it's really difficult for you to rest there, support is available by either email or phone, no matter where you live in the world. And if you live in Siberia and you can get a letter out once in a while, well, we might not get back to you within 24 hours, but we will get back to you. See, there's no way out anymore. Have you noticed that? There's no way out of resting naturally. Not in the Great Freedom Teaching. There's no excuse. You see, no matter where you turn, there's awareness. Just as it has always been. Shoshana?
I'm sharing the book.
Please come up.
For me personally, my biggest realization of resting naturally has happened in many ways, but I'll just give you an example of, well, say I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I really want to go up and share, but I have certain fears. So I start to rest, and then I think, I know I'm resting because I'm up here now. I have an enormous fear of, or I did, of writing. And last night we went home from, we went from here to home to do our papers and our written work. And then we suddenly get three visitors. Now my normal reaction to this would be, you know, I have to tell them to go, I have to tell them to go. I'd be all worked up and, because I had all this writing to do. And it was amazing. I welcomed them. Please come in. And I sat there, we sat there for maybe 2 hours, George and I. And I completely forgot about the writing. I thought, this is just amazing. I told Jochen after. I was just amazed. And like something happened when Katty was talking, like just now you were saying, you can't remember almost what you were like before. I've come to terms, or I've completely lost the two enormous big fears that I had, well, many, many of them, not just two, many, many, through resting naturally. Reading, writing, judgments, criticism, gossip, so many things just through resting. And it's incredible. It's almost like I'm in another world. So it's worth it. because you also get this overwhelming compassion and love, and suddenly you're looking at everybody so differently.
Mm.
Like, because you realize who they really are. And like you said something just now, suddenly you can not take everything personal. It's just awareness.
Mm.
And yeah. And for me, my whole life was points of view. I thank Heather and I thank Candice so much.
Thank you, Susanna. Any other questions? We'll sit for a moment before we close.